Australian scientists have been at the forefront of climate change research. And so when the CSIRO announced it was cut 350 jobs, there was a backlash from climate change experts. Now, we might have to rely on the research of other countries despite the unique challenges we face in Australia. But climate change isn't just in the hands of scientists and the government. Joining me this morning is Dr. Susan Lawler from La Trobe University to talk about how we can affect change on a more personal level. Good morning, Doctor. How are you doing?
Good morning, I'm well.
So a lot of the focus on climate change has been its potential effect on cities and populations. Have we forgotten about its effect on nature, plants and animals, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Now, look, I wrote an article in The Conversation and realised from the comments that people are confused a little bit. So let me back up.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they think about climate change, they think about their carbon footprint, which they should. We call that mitigation. That's about trying to make sure climate change isn't as bad as it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So reducing your carbon footprint is step one.
Mm-hmm.
Then step two is adaptation, where our councils and governments are planning for people what's going to happen for the change that is already locked in. If we don't reduce our footprint and it gets really bad, how are we going to have food security and water? You know, how the cities are planning. That's step two. I'm talking about step three, where we look around at the plants and animals in our garden and in our national parks and say, how can we help them? And they are going to need help because CSIRO predicts that the climate in Sydney in 30 years will be something like Newcastle, possibly as bad as Perth.
Wow.
So you can go to the Climate Change in Australia website and put in different scenarios into their climate analog tool and find out what your hometown will look like in 30 years, in 50 years, in 100 years. So it's a good idea because then you can start planning. You know, when a tree dies, you go, do I'm going to plant that same tree or I'm going to plant something that might work?
It might actually live.
Exactly. So I was at a conference in October where a bunch of scientists got together and we weren't talking about our carbon footprint, we weren't talking about people, we were talking about nature. And we came up with 10 things you can do, and they are work together. It's a very complicated problem, so we are going to have to monitor plants and animals and see what's happening so we can help them. We need to plant corridors so that, you know, plants might have to move hundreds of kilometers and live in a different place. And how are they going to do that without our help? Birds can move around and the insects can move around, and I'm noticing different insects in my neighborhood already that didn't used to be here last year or 5 years ago. But how are we going to get the plants to move? And we need healthy ecosystems around us, so we need to start helping those plants and animals adapt and change. And one of the really tough things is we're going to have to accept that the green spaces around us will be different because our climate is different. And so you can't just say, I love this plant. It's always been great in my garden. My grandmother had it. I'm going to keep it alive. Well, by all means, try.
Mm.
But if you fail, try to find another plant that would be an analog of that plant. You find if you love wattles, you'd look for a wattle from an area that has a climate like you're going to have.
Yeah, and so you talked about the mapping or the kind of looking into the crystal ball of what will happen in 30 or 40 years into the future. Is Australia unique in the kind of challenges we face compared to other places around the world and what will happen in terms of climate change?
Not at all. And everyone has this coming, and it's really about starting to have the conversation, which I think is the most important thing, so that everyone's aware that that's coming, accept that it's coming, and then start talking to community groups about what you can do. So everyone's going to have that. What we have, or what we have had, is a really great climate research team at the CSIRO, and I really do have to recommend the Climate Change in Australia website, which has great data. What I'm sorry to say is that with the sacking of those scientists, that's not going to continue to be the best site.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's fantastic, and you can get a lot of information.
So how much will the sacking of these 350 jobs hurt Australia's preparations for climate change?
We're talking about future-proofing, and that means, you know, making clear predictions down the track And you can only do that if you're really aware of what's going on in the present. At the moment, we've got a great bunch of scientists working on that, and they've done a great job of making sure the Australian public has access to really relevant and useful information. In 30 years, that information is going to be out of date, and if we don't have scientists working on it every year along the way, we really are hurting ourselves. I'm also concerned that we are not going to be able to live up to our agreements in the Paris Climate Agreement, because I think one of the signatories there was we will continue our research. So, yeah, that upsets us.
It's a bit hard to do when people lose their jobs, as you discussed.
Yeah.
Dr. Susan Law, thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning.
Thanks, Mitch.